thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's January 2024, and this is episode 376, which is a conversation about the Twin Flames Universe cult. On this episode, I'm joined by Lindsay Medenwalt, who is Director of Ministry Operations at Mama Bear Apologetics. She also serves as a consulting editor for the Christian Research Journal. Lindsay has a master's in apologetics and ethics from Denver Seminary, a JD from St. Mary's School of Law, and a master's in public administration from Midwestern State University. Lindsay has written an online exclusive article about twin flames. Her article is called "Escaping Twin Flames, Why People Are Falling for the Love Cult." And you can read her article for free at our website, equip.org. Lindsay, it's good to have you on again.
Hey, Melanie, I'm so glad to be back.
Well, before I start asking you about the subject matter of this Netflix docuseries, I think our listeners want to know, why should Christians even watch a show like Escaping Twin Flames on Netflix? What's the value for them? And, you know, is it appropriate for Christians to watch this? Because why should they really care about this particular subject matter? And if some Christians could watch it, how should we respond to this kind of material if, in fact, we do?
Melanie, this is a question that I have been thinking about for a while now because I study cults and fringe religions a lot. I hesitate to use the word enjoy, but I am drawn to studying them. And I do watch a lot of what I'd call culty television, shows about cults and fringe religions. And I think a lot of people do. I really do. I mean, I think a lot of people are drawn to learning about different groups out there. Sometimes we watch because we want to learn and we want to know what people believe. And sometimes, if we're being honest, we watch because we're entertained. I think that Christians should avoid watching if you're merely trying to be entertained, because these are real people who are made in the image of God, and God wants to call them his own. And they are lost and they are in need of a savior. They are not fake characters. When we're talking about documentaries and docuseries, this is not a sitcom. These are real people with real lives. So I think if Christians are going to watch shows like Escaping Twin Flames, it needs to be to learn, but we also need to put ourselves on guard. And I say that because we need to ask ourselves about things in our own lives that we've fallen for that perhaps are lies with just a hint of truth. And when we get into this discussion about the Twin Flames universe, we'll learn that they talk a lot about God. They talk a lot about things that maybe Christians will find, I believe that too. The problem is that it is so entrenched in other false beliefs that the truth really just isn't there anymore. And we need to be on guard so that we don't fall for groups and religions like this. When I watch shows like Escaping Twin Flames, I typically use it as an opportunity to pray. I think it's really important for Christians to have a solid prayer life and to be in constant conversation with God. I thank God for his truth when I watch shows like this. I pray that his truth will set people free. I also find myself praying for the people who are in the program. So I've started praying actively for the founders of the Twin Flames universe, Jeff and Shalia, and their child. I have started praying for the current members and the former members, that they would find the true Jesus, and that they would have real experiences with him like I have as my savior, and that they would find salvation. I think Christians who learn about cults and religions like this through culty television or movies, they should pray for divine appointments with people, and they should pray that the divines, that Jeff and Shalia, have divine appointments with Christians, and that their family would find out the true truth through their neighbors or even acquaintances that they meet in the grocery store. I just think that we need to remember that many people who leave cults or groups like this, they don't end up becoming Christians and they don't join any religion because they just have a hard time trusting anything as true. And I think shows like this will help us understand about how easy it would be to be drawn into something like this. I think we can get a little bit judgmental and judgy about members and say, well, why would they fall for something like that? Well, we all could fall susceptible to things like this in anything in our lives. If we start, you know, getting into a particular TikTok trend or the videos that are fed to us on Instagram Reels becomes, you know, I research tarot cards and I research psychics and then Instagram starts feeding me those things. If I'm not on guard, if I'm not in constant prayer and recognizing those things as false, I could start telling myself, well, maybe that tarot card reading had a little something in it for me. And so we really just need to remember that it's easy to tell ourselves we wouldn't fall prey to those things. But I think a lot of us have fallen prey to things, maybe not like a cult, but other false beliefs because the world tells us that they are true. I think we need to avoid making groups like this into a meme or something that we laugh at. I think we need to understand that the New Age movement is alive and well. Shows like Escaping Twin Flames tells us that, you know, it's not dead. We who study the New Age understand that the New Age is alive and well, and people are really captive and they're stuck in it. And they're not just captivated by it. They are captive and they need to be set free. And so I would just encourage people as they listen to this podcast to remember that the people we're talking about need a savior, just as we need a savior. And we should prayerfully consider how we take in information like this and use it. How can we help our neighbors or our friends or our children understand the dangers of groups and teachings like this? And we need to enter into conversations about these topics with compassion and find it as an opportunity to pray for others and remind them that Jesus is truly the only way and that he's the only one who can offer us relief from our pain.
I do want to remind our listeners that in God's providence, you know, all of these podcasts that we do are very equipping. And by God's providence, he might put people across your path that are connected to these groups and these beliefs, because I think the average Christian listening to this is thinking, you know, I guess this podcast on the Temple of Satan is interesting, but it has nothing to do with me, except for I actually met somebody in an online group of a similar interest. And this person we were talking about parenting was a parenting thread, and it was a dad who was a member of the Temple of Satan. And I was able to have a respectful conversation. And it started out because he was saying he has a terrible relationship with his brother, who's a Christian. And the thing is I was able to have a respectful conversation with this guy, this dad, and express that I was a Christian because I'd been equipped knowing about the Temple of Satan from the different podcasts that John Ferrer has done. And I was able to say, oh, I get it. You know, you guys are atheists. You don't actually believe in Satan and all this stuff. And he was open to actually speaking to a Christian because of that. And then on another note, you know, I was talking recently with some women about the uniqueness of Jesus and how he's different from, you know, the traditional Roman gods, the Norse gods. And I'm sure those women were thinking, well, I'm not going to run into anyone who even holds to that. That's just so, you know, that was ancient times or whatever. But actually, a friend of mine, her brother has deconverted from Christianity and actually believes he's reincarnated from a Norse god. And he's somebody who's a millennial. So I just want our listeners to know that some of these things seem so far out to us, but at the same time, if we are have interest in apologetics and other religions, and we do, or maybe you say, hey, because this is a profane docuseries, I can't, but you listen to this entire podcast and you find out about it, you might be equipping yourself to be able to talk to someone who has similar beliefs in the new age or know somebody in this group. Because of the internet, it's a small world now. So I would just encourage people to not think, well, this has nothing to do with me, because you never know when you might run across someone who has these views.
Mm-hmm. You're 100% right, Melanie. And that's what I want people to understand when they listen to what we're going to share about the Twin Flames universe is, as I was researching, I also met somebody who was a former member online. And so it's not out of the realm of possibility that listeners will find themselves in some way connected to somebody who is in a group that we have talked about, either in this podcast or in all of the podcasts that you do, Melanie, that really equip people to understand groups like the Twin Flames universe and ideas like the New Age movement, but also equipping themselves in the Word of God, because we can't speak truth if we don't know truth. And it's important for us to be able to know truth in order to spot false ideas. And so you need to really think about how are you equipping yourself in truth, and how will you use the information that you'll learn in this podcast combined with the truth that you already know to help others.
And like you said, your whole just interest in this topic, you didn't really know about it and you saw someone else post about it. And because if any of us are on social media and we have quote unquote hundreds of Facebook friends, you know, somebody might be posting about something and saying, hey, this is so great. And yet if you're equipped, you'd be like, well, have you thought about this? Or have you thought about this? So some of our friends or friends of friends that we see online and on our feeds could be lured into some of this stuff or just intrigued and not be a Christian, or be a Christian that's not grounded, like you said, in scripture, or they're, you know, they don't go to church regularly. They're not in a Christian community. So these things are really important so that we are equipped to know what we believe and why we believe it, but also that we're equipped to, you know, like you said, reach out to people and share Christ with them and share the gospel with them. So that's really important. Well, as I noted, we are going to be talking about a religious group that was featured in a Netflix documentary, and this group is called the Twin Flames Universe. And before Lindsay had contacted me about this group, I had never heard about them before, and did watch the trailer about it, and it seems really kind of disturbing. So tell us a little bit about this Netflix docuseries, Escaping Twin Flames. So what is this about? What is this group about? And, you know, the title says Escaping Twin Flames. Why are people trying to escape it?
Yeah, a couple of months ago, I was scrolling Facebook and a friend of mine had posted about a new series on Netflix about what she called a love cult called the Twin Flames Universe. And if anybody knows me, you know that I am intrigued by cults and fringe religions. So I was immediately attracted to the idea of watching this series. And I did a little research before I dove in, and I found that more than 4 million people had streamed the series in its first week. So it was really popular, really quick, and a lot of people were learning about it, but I still wasn't getting any answers except from what I saw in the trailer too. So I decided to watch the whole thing, and I binged it very quickly, and I found it to be extremely educational. I learned a lot about the Twin Flames universe, but I also found it to be extremely disturbing. So from the outset, I want to make it clear to the listeners that this is a rated R docuseries. I don't know that it's actually rated R, but for our listeners in particular, I'm going to go ahead and slap the R rating on there because there's a lot of bad language and they talk about sexuality a lot. So it's not something that you're going to want to watch if there are kids around, for sure. But if you know that you are not wanting to watch that kind of thing, I suggest that you just stay away from it and listen to this podcast and learn about it from here. So Jeff and Shalia, they swear a lot and they talk about sex a lot, but that doesn't really tell you what the Twin Flames are about. The series doesn't shy away from those things because I think it talks to the core of who Jeff and Shalia are. They're the founders of the Twin Flames universe and also what the Twin Flames members might believe. The series was born out of an article that was published on Vice, which is an online magazine, way back in 2020. So this isn't a new thing. It's been written about, it's been talked about, and there's actually another docuseries on Prime on the same topic. They came out about a month apart. So there's a lot of information online about the Twin Flames universe. But again, I don't necessarily recommend that people watch the series or research it. That's what I've done, and hopefully you can learn about it from here, and that's enough. The series tries to get the viewer to have an emotional connection with former cult members and family members of people who are still in the cult. And I want to say that it does a pretty good job of drawing you in and making you feel like something is wrong, even if initially you're not quite sure what that is. I will say that, like most documentaries, it's pretty one-sided. It shows the dark side of the organization. It's not a lot of good and happiness about the organization. And it raises, I would call it, a number of allegations against the Twin Flames universe. And it accuses members and the founders of indoctrinating its members and abusing its members. So those are pretty steep allegations, Melanie. And the producers did say that they reached out to Jeff and Shalia, but they refused to comment. I did find a social media post that was responding to it. And it said that they disagreed with everything that was presented in the documentary, and they deny any of the allegations, which I guess somebody would expect. But essentially, the Twin Flames universe is a love cult where people go to find their number one love. That's the easiest way to put it, but it's sort of been taken to extremes, and we'll get into that later.
Yes, it does sound fascinating, and for sure social media can bring these things to our attention that we might not have known about before, or even things like Netflix. So you mentioned Jeff and Shalila Devine, and first of all, is Devine their last name? Give us a little bit more background about them, because I'm assuming they run this group?
Yes, Jeff and Shalia Devine are the founders of the Twin Flames universe. They are a married couple. They claim to be in harmonious twin flame union, which is sort of a phrase that they've coined. Jeff's name has actually changed a couple of times in his lifetime. He was once known as Ender Ionethos. And if anybody has ever seen or watched or read Ender's Game, that's where he got that name from. And it's a play off his original last name, which is Ayan. Shalia used to be known as Megan Plant. Both have changed their names because of their spirituality. So I'm just going to call them Jeff and Shalia. Their chosen last name is Devine, and it's because of their spirituality that they've chosen that last name. And I think that both of them have officially changed their last names. So that's what's on their birth certificates at this point. Jeff is from Michigan. He has a business degree in, and he, you know, went to college for business. One of his friends said that he's always been interested in getting rich. And I can tell you from watching several videos featuring just Jeff that it does seem like he is interested in wealth and getting material items in his life. Shalia is from Canada, but she lived in Arizona, and she was a photography student before meeting Jeff. Both were raised in the Roman Catholic Church. Both have backgrounds in Catholicism. They are not Catholic now, nor do they profess to be Christians necessarily. They are spiritual, is kind of the word that they consistently use. And I think listeners will recognize that as sort of a red flag and recognize that we're not dealing with Christianity here, even if sometimes it sounds like we are. In 2012, Jeff moved to Hawaii, and he had an adventure blog there and met Shalia online that year. And 2 years later, they got together in person, and they were married in 2016. They immediately started recording videos about their twin flame union and about how they were twin flames. And they were talking about very personal things and how they were really connected physically and spiritually and in all ways. So getting married was not a big step for them. They released their book, Twin Flames, in 2017, I think. I have the 2022 version, and that's what I read in preparation of this podcast. And they currently live in Michigan. They live in a very big house in Michigan. So they're very much into spirituality. They're very much into New Age stuff. When they were dating online, Shalia offered Jeff a tarot card reading. And for him, that was a huge turn on. And he immediately thought, hey, this girl isn't like other girls that have been attracted to me in the past. Maybe there's something for me here. Shalia claims to be a psychic. And actually, in their book, she calls herself a divine channel. And I have seen instances where they have claimed that they have heard directly from God. So they use that channeling quite frequently to give messages to their members and really anybody else who will listen. And they started something called the Twin Flame Ascension School. And what that is a place where you can buy classes from them to help you learn how to find your twin flame. It's literally how to help you find your true love. And so they have started making money, and now they run the Twin Flames Universe and a number of other things under that umbrella.
In case you missed last week's episode, you might not have heard that we have started another brand new podcast in the last few weeks. And this podcast is called Christian Research Journal Reads. And what it is audio versions of popular Christian Research Journal articles. So we are going to mine our library of articles that we've published for more than 45 years and bring you the most accessed articles from our website. So if you don't have time necessarily to sit down and read one of our very in-depth articles, you can put this podcast on while you're driving, or maybe you're folding your laundry, or just out and about and listening to content on your earbuds. And so we bring you the most popular articles from our journal straight to this podcast, Christian Research Journal Reads. And you can subscribe to it wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So you can find us on Apple, on Google Play, Spotify, and wherever you like to subscribe to your podcasts. Now, the other thing, as always, that we'd be really grateful for is we want to hear from you and know if you could give us a rating or review, specifically on Apple Podcasts, because that's where they're mostly aggregated there. And it helps us with the algorithm, and more people can find this podcast and our content, which is coming up on 400 episodes. It has been just amazing that we've put out this much content over the last 8 years now. We started in 2016. So please share this episode, or share all your favorite episodes, or simply tell a friend. And now back to my conversation about Twin Flames and the docuseries on Netflix with Lindsay Metamont. So you mentioned that they coined this term twin flame, and I didn't really know what that was before I watched some of the excerpts from the docuseries, but can you explain what this term is that they coined? And also, I am wondering, how many members do they have in their group?
Twin flames is not a unique idea to this organization, to this love cult. And its origin is somewhat debated. I tried to find the actual origin. And like I said, there are some sources that will say one thing and others that will say another. Some claim that Plato came up with the idea about 2,000 years ago. Others say that it actually was born out of a novel, a romance novel, that came out in the late 1880s. I didn't get my hands on that book, so I don't know for sure what it talks about, but that's one of the sources that I've heard that may have come up with the twin flames idea. But despite the differences in where people say that the twin flames idea came from, I would say that the definition is pretty constant amongst everyone. Essentially, a twin flame is a connection between two people. And when you're together, you are now a single union. So it's two parts becoming one, similar to marriage, when two become one, which is also a biblical phrase. Twin flames are sometimes, though, called mirror souls, which sounds not quite religious. It sounds very spiritual. And some people will say that your twin flame is your soulmate, but most people who believe in twin flames will argue that it is deeper than a soulmate. It is not a soulmate. It is something more meaningful than that. And so I stumbled upon something, Melanie, that you might actually remember us talking about several years ago when I talked about Teal Swan on this podcast. Apparently, she is a favorite guru of Jeff and Shalia, and they subscribe to a lot of the things that she teaches in her New Age classes. And she has several videos about the twin flames. And a lot of what she says is similar to the things that Jeff and Shalia talk about. So what I'm starting to notice as I dive into New Age leaders is that a lot of them are interconnected and they're teaching similar things, but they've got a lot of the same followers as well. I will say that some people will argue that twin flames are not necessarily romantic partners, but Jeff and Shalia teach that you absolutely are. And I found a lot of videos about intimacy between twin flames and how powerful it is, according to Jeff and Shalia. I'm trying to keep it as G-rated as possible, but the videos are not G-rated on YouTube. They talk about intimacy in very crass ways between twin flames, and Jeff and Shalia don't shy away from crassness. And you'll see that if you ever watch any of their videos. But they teach that your twin flame is the same soul or essence, and that twin flames were created by God at the exact same moment. So twin flames are actually the soul's highest and perfect eternal, they call it complement. And so they have really not come up with the twin flame idea, but they are rolling with it and decided that they were going to be a little bit different and call it a harmonious twin flame union, which just is another way to say that you have achieved a connection with the person that God intended you to be with. And the Twin Flames Ascension School is designed to help you figure out how to achieve that. As far as membership, there aren't a lot of members. I joined the online Facebook group, which is a closed group. And when the Vice article came out, I think there were 18,000 members in that group, which was in 2020. Now there are more than 52,000 members. But I want to make it clear that not all of them are students in a sense that they're not paying money to take the free live courses. And I would say actually the majority of them are not actually paying any money to the organization. I think they're just there to learn from the different postings that happen in the closed group. And some of them are there because they're intrigued by what was presented in the Netflix docuseries. I would say that they don't have a lot of, comparatively to other large YouTube groups, they don't have a lot of subscribers. The Twin Flames Universe page has about 19,000 subscribers, and Jeff and Shalia have a YouTube page, and that has 30,000 followers and subscribers. They're both on Instagram, and each of them has just under 4,000 followers. So it's not huge, but it doesn't have to be huge to have an impact. I want to make that clear too. Like we shouldn't just write it off because there are only a few members in the group or a few thousand members in the group, because I have actually seen memes that were created about Twin Flames and the Twin Flames universe on friends' Facebook feeds with them not realizing what they were sharing because it just sounded like a true love kind of post. So it's making an impact even if people aren't assuming that it's making an impact.
That's really fascinating. So how do members find their twin flames and I guess what they're calling a harmonious twin flame union? And why are, it's like you mentioned, it's a smaller group. So why would people be attracted to this premise? Why would they say, oh, I want to be involved in this group?
I think true love and true connection with someone is pretty important to people in general. And I think with the COVID pandemic and people feeling isolated for so long, that sort of makes the internet a good breeding ground for groups such as this that promise that you will find your true love's match and they can help you get there. As far as people trusting them, I unfortunately think that they just believe them because they seem like such nice people and they seem mostly down to earth unless they're flaunting their wealth. And I say that meaning most of the times when you see videos featuring Jeff and Shalia, they're wearing normal people clothes, sweatshirts and jeans and hats, and it just looks normal. But then when you see other videos where they're talking about where they live and what kind of cars they drive, you recognize that maybe things aren't as simple as they seem, but they do seem like nice people. And if somebody is promising to find you your true love and you haven't been able to find your true love before, some people are really desperate for that. Now, I don't have numbers, Melanie, of how many people have signed up for their classes or paid money. I know that you can get the first couple of lessons for free. I signed up for their free trial and received some lessons myself. Those are just PDF files. They're not videos. And then you can buy courses to help you achieve this twin flame union. The courses cost between, they're very big into numbers being even or being the same. So $333 a month or $444 a month. And you pay that money and you get access to 100 live sessions a month where you can tap into live classes. And some of them are with Jeff and Shalia, others are not. And the whole idea is that they will spend time with you so that they can sort of dig in to who you are and what you're looking for. The docuseries features a lot of these live videos that they've found and that they've gotten access to. And it's a little disturbing. It's a lot of disturbing, actually, the way that Jeff and Shalia treat some of the members who are on this quest to find true love. And I can see why the allegations of abuse would come up, because Jeff is not, he will yell and he will call names to people who are not doing enough in his mind to achieve their twin flame union. Finding their twin flame union, how do you do it? That's the million-dollar question. And it seems like it's usually somebody who's already in the person's life. Jeff and Shalia will sort of dig in and try to find if there's a person already there. And then they'll say, well, I think that's your twin flame union. Sometimes it's an ex girlfriend or an ex-boyfriend. And Jeff and Shalia will assign twin flame unions. And in the end, they're the ones who will call it. They're the only ones who will say you are in a harmonious twin flame union. And that's really what they're working toward. Jeff and Shalia, they sometimes get it wrong, but a lot of times they will promote those couples intensely. They will be the faces of the universe, so to speak, of the successes that they have had in uniting people into their twin flame unions and keeping them there.
So I just wanted to find out, you know, because obviously there was a documentary and its title is Escaping Twin Flames. So what is troubling about Jeff and Shalia and their approach? And if people are trying to, quote, escape the twin flames, are they trying to convince members to stay in their group? I mean, why do people think they want to leave the group?
This was an interesting part of the docuseries to me. They featured some moms, a group of moms who are trying to get their children out of the group. and they featured some other family members, but they also featured some former cult members. Now, I am reminded of some of the books and materials that I've read on another prominent group here in the United States where people have talked about escaping the organization and literally running for their lives from this particular organization that I will not name. But that's what I think about when I hear escaping anything. I think of members running away and being chased, but that doesn't seem to be exactly the case. Obviously, they want to keep their members. Their members are paying money, not just for the school. They're paying money for counseling sessions, which are extra money. They're paying money for going to large group sessions. And there's just a lot of money to be made by having people become members of the group. If a member decides that they want to leave, I have not seen much fighting for them. And the former members who are on the docuseries don't really talk about anything alluding to the fact that Jeff and Shalia tried to keep them there. The most that I could see was there is a sister pair that is on the docuseries, Keely, and I think her sister's name is Marley. And Keely was one of the original members and is actually featured prominently in their book with her so-called twin flame, Colby. They are not together anymore, but they are still in the book as a successful twin flame union. And Keely recruited her sister, Marley, to join the group. And the closest I could come to escaping the twin flames was Keely literally driving to Marley's house and saying, "We need to leave now," and pulling her from her home. And they drove to an undisclosed location, and that was how they escaped. But I didn't see any fighting for them. And in fact, I found that it was the opposite. They ended up getting blocked by the group and shunned, so to speak. So that's a culty word. That's shunning. It means that you were in the group and now you're not in the group and nobody's going to talk to you. Nobody's going to give you the time of day. So I think the escape part, Melanie, really comes from people being able to find the truth about the Twin Flames and realize that they're being fed malarkey from Jeff and Shalia. I think that's the best way to put it. And to have the confidence to step out of it. Because as we know, and as our listeners will know, is when you're a member of a group like this, it can be very difficult to leave because you're afraid of what might happen. And they talk about this in the docuseries. The members ask, what were we even afraid of? The former members. They'll say, what were we afraid of? What were they going to do to us? And nothing happened to them. But that fear is what's keeping so many members in the group and holding them there because they don't know what will happen if they leave, except that they might get shunned and lose all of the friendships that they've made since they've been a part of it.
So we're talking about twin flames and finding that, I guess, soulmate is what people are looking for. But is the Twin Flame Universe group only about connecting with your soulmate, or do they have other aspects to the group besides trying to foster romantic relationship?
Yeah, it's a whole universe. So it did start out as just true love. And I would say that that is the core purpose of the group, but they have definitely found other avenues to keep people as members, to give people hope, and to also get people to pay more money. And I know that sounds so cynical of me, and I want to make it clear that I'm not against people charging money for classes about various things and whatnot. But when you're looking at a group like this and you recognize that the members are paying a lot of money every month for something that they're promised, and then they're not achieving that over several years even. There's a member in the Facebook group who's been in it for a very long time. And at one point he was told he had a twin flame, and then it became the false twin flame, which we can talk about later. And he's still part of the group. He's still a member. He's listed as an Ascension coach on their website. And so he's still part of it, and he's still desperate to find his true love. But one of the other things that I found fascinating about this is it does seem like they are finding members who maybe haven't felt loved unconditionally by their family. And that unconditional love is something that Jeff and Shalia promise exists in the Twin Flame Union. And so they've created something called a soul family. There's a video that was featured on the Netflix series where one of the members whose family was actually wanting to rescue her from this cult, she wrote a letter and said, "Leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Our relationship is done." And then it cuts to this video where Jeff and Shalia name another member of their group as her soul sister, as her true soul family. And it's really telling members that there's more valuable relationships than whatever family they left behind. And by cutting off their family, they are even more tied to the organization and remaining a member of the group. I also found something that might catch you off guard a little bit, Melanie, but they have a menu planning service. It's called Divine Dish, which I think is probably based off of their chosen last name, Divine. And for $129 a month, you get menus. You do not get the food. You get the menus, and they will give you food that is supposed to help you support your spiritual well-being. And I looked at a sample menu, and I would say that the food is not cheap, especially in this economy, and it's not healthy. Like, it's not healthy. This is not healthy food. This is very heavy meals, and they are encouraged to eat all of it and not leave anything on their plate in order to be completely spiritually well. And one former member who was featured on the series said that she went on this plan and she gained 70 pounds in 9 months. And that's really rapid weight gain. You can kind of see that. I don't like talking about people's weight or whatever, but you can sort of see that when you're watching the videos over time in certain members, they seem to be putting on weight over time. And at the same time, talking about how wonderful Divine Dish is. And it makes me concerned and sad for the actual health and well-being of the members, not just spiritually, but also physically. And there are a couple of other aspects of the Twin Flames universe that the docuseries mentioned, like the Church of Union and something that Jeff and Shalia call the mind alignment process. So the universe is big for the Twin Flames universe, and they've got a lot of things available to its members.
That is just really odd. I mean, I have compassion for people because menu planning shouldn't cost you over $100 a month. I'm sure there's a lot of free tools for that. But anyway, so it seems like it's a religion, and I don't know if people are, you know, coming to it for love, or like you said, they get into it and then they're doing, you know, menu plans. So at least it seems like it's kind of an informal type of a church. I mean, what kind of beliefs do they have? I mean, people originally might be coming in for a different reason, and then are they drawn into the more religious aspects of it?
It's an interesting question, and I don't have an answer 100% on who joins the religion, but I do know that in 2019, Jeff and Shalia founded the Church of Union. And if you go to the Church of Union website, it says that the goal is to, quote, and I'm quoting here and I'm going to read it so I don't get it wrong, unify all religion under one spiritual umbrella. So in the Netflix docuseries, they showed a video, and it featured Jeff and Shalia chatting with some other higher ups in the Twin Flames universe. And Jeff was looking for a way to avoid taxes and not have to pay his employees. And the solution was to start a religion. And I'm not making this up. We might get pushback on that, but it's what was said in the video. We need to start a religion then so that I can have volunteers and I don't have to pay anyone. And that's how the Church of Union was born. Now, the good news, Melanie, I think, for our listeners, is to know that there are less than 2,000 subscribers to the Church of Union on YouTube. And most of their videos only have about 100 views. So it's not, I don't think it's picking up steam, so to speak. But the people who do subscribe are getting information that you may not expect from what you might think of when you go to church. So I actually watched a sermon. I actually watched two sermons. I watched two of these Church of Union episodes, Sunday morning services. And it took me aback because I wasn't expecting to hear what I heard. I want to preface this by saying that Jeff has claimed to be the second coming of Christ. So for those who are in his inner circle, it wouldn't be surprising to know that he has started a church. He's been called the Father Christ, and Shalia has been called the Mother Christ, and their daughter, who was born last year, they call her the Princess of all creation. And I watched the video where Jeff was claiming to be the second coming of Christ, and he said that he and Jesus look exactly alike. Jeff has very pale skin and bright blue eyes. And he said that that's exactly how Jesus looked, which historically, we know that that is not accurate because Jesus was from the Middle East and most likely did not have pale skin or blue eyes, regardless of what art has indicated in recent history. So that's a problem. But also problematic is then Shalia said something very gross and joked about having intimate relationship with the Christ. And everyone in the group laughed. And I was very disturbed by it. And I don't label a lot of things blasphemy just out and out, but that video, I had to walk away for a while and come back to it later because I just couldn't handle it. So when I was watching the Church of Union episodes, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I just wasn't sure. They start with songs, like a normal worship service, like if you were going to church. So if you're just stumbling upon their Sunday morning live stream, you might think, oh, it's a worship song. I'll join this sermon. And I looked up some of the lyrics that were being put on the screen, and they used a song by a pretty popular band, but they changed the lyrics to suit the needs of the Twin Flames universe, which I'm not sure is legal, but that's neither here nor there. And I couldn't tell if they were talking about twin flames or God in the song. And then they had a prayer kind of slash meditation thing that ended with namaste, which is a very new age thing. And then they had a tarot card reading. So they had a woman come on the screen and she offered a tarot card reading for everybody who was watching. And then she cuts to their minister. And before the minister started talking, she opened with a video of Jeff and Shalia leading them through a series of three opening ohms. So you just see them ohming. And they did that at the end as well to kind of close out the sermon. And this sermon that I watched, the one that I'm going to talk about, it was about drifting away from God. The minister said that we're co-creators with God. That's a New Age thing. But the bulk of the sermon was really a self-help guide to overcoming barriers, which is a very Twin Flames universe thing. That's kind of their hope, is that you will overcome barriers so that you can get in touch with your twin flame. It didn't involve any kind of scripture whatsoever. And it was just the minister telling us how to be successful and how to keep striving in life. But what was super problematic, Melanie, is that it ended with a prayer. And the prayer talked about asking God to lead and to share, to help us share God's truth with others. And then it ended in Christ's name, Om Amen. So they've taken That's the first time I've really heard them talk about Christ other than Jeff being the second coming of Christ. They don't really talk about Jesus very much. It's very God-centric. But then she closed the prayer in Christ's name. We don't have the time to get into all of the beliefs of the Church of Union. I would say that their beliefs are definitely New Age. They believe in reincarnation. They believe in psychic power. They believe in ascension, which is reaching your highest vibrational state so that you can achieve perfection and ascend in this event that New Agers believe is going to happen. They believe in vibrational energies. They teach that they are one with God, that all is God. Not everything they teach is wrong, though. There are nuggets of truth that I heard in the midst of all of the other things that they were teaching. And that's, I think, where the problem is, because someone could stumble on this and think initially that it's Christian, at least based on the way that they had it structured and the prayers. I would hope that there would be red flags if they saw a tarot card reading and heard Om, but maybe somebody who was viewing it would just brush that off and not take it too seriously and continue to watch and continue to dive into their teachings. Some might hear words like God and Christ and assume that it's a Christian church, but it's not. It's very much intertwined with the Twin Flames universe and the Twin Flames union idea. They use Jeff and Shalia's words as scripture. Twin Flames words are all over the place. If you watch them, Jeff and Shalia will consistently refer to unionism and the Church of Union. They talk about giving it all to God and how loving God fully is essential, which that's true. But then they add in this New Age garbage and it gets muddied. It's no longer what the Bible tells us. It's what Jeff and Shalia tell us. And I've watched a lot of their videos, and they're usually sitting in front of a giant bookshelf full of books, which, if anybody knows me, I will pause YouTube videos and look at books behind people because I'm a bibliophile and I love books. And in their case, they have a ton of books on spirituality, and I could find a Quran, but I couldn't find any Bibles. Now, that's not to say they don't use a Bible. It's not to say that it's not there. But for me, it wasn't prominent and I didn't see it. And for me, that's a warning sign that this is not a Christian group and that this is not a Christian church, even if it uses Christianese.
That is just so odd in some sense. Now, they also hold to something called the mind alignment process. What do they mean by mind alignment and how do they practice that in their group?
So I think one of the things we need to understand about this group before we talk about the mind alignment process is what happens to a person when they're trying to achieve their twin flame and how do they get there? Jeff and Shalia have created a process called the mirror exercise. And if you look at their YouTube channel, this is by far the number one video that has been watched. A lot of people have seen it, and it walks you step by step through this process. Essentially, what the mirror exercise is supposed to do is to help you achieve enlightenment and ascension, which, again, is just achieving perfection in this New Age world. And we've talked about that before, Melanie, when we've talked about other New Age gurus like Teal Swan or even David Wilcock, we've talked about this ascension idea. The mirror exercise tells you that no one has power over you and that you shouldn't ever play the victim. And it basically flips the script on emotional upsets. And so I've actually developed an example that I think we can use to help listeners understand what this is so that they can understand what the mind alignment process is. The first step in the mirror exercise is to say what the problem is. So Melanie, I'm going to use you as an example. It's completely fictional. This is not real. I am not upset at Melanie. Melanie is not upset at me, but here we go. The first step is to say how I feel. Melanie is making me feel sad because she thinks I don't play enough board games. So that's the first step. The second step is then to change everything to a personal pronoun. So now I'm going to change that first sentence and it's going to become, I am making myself feel sad because I don't think I play enough board games. So now I've shifted the problem from Melanie to myself. And then in step three, you ask yourself if there's any truth to that statement. And in their book, Jeff and Shalia say that the answer is always yes. There's always truth to step two. So here, I would say then, it is true that I am making myself feel sad because I don't think I play enough board games. And in step four, you have to love yourself, which sounds a little weird, but that's how you heal. So I've seen this play out on Twin Flames videos featuring other members. And what they've said is that this step is basically giving yourself a hug. And you can give yourself a hug for as long as you want until you no longer feel what you felt before. So in this scenario, Melanie, I'm going to give myself a hug for feeling sad about not playing enough board games. I'm no longer upset with Melanie, and Melanie is no longer making me sad because I'm realizing that I wasn't loving myself enough before. And I was taking it out on Melanie when really it was all my problem. So it wasn't your fault that you were making me sad. It was mine. Now, I think you can see the issue with this, because if we were to look at very serious issues that happened between people, and we see this in the docuseries, it's been used, the mirror exercise has been used to excuse abuse and between members. And that's, they've endured a lot of pain and trauma because of it, which leads me to the mind alignment process. The mind alignment process was, I'm going to call it MAP, because mind alignment process is a lot of words that I will jumble up, I'm sure, at some point. It's a method that Jeff created to heal past trauma. And it was briefly mentioned on the docuseries. They didn't go into it a lot, but I did, because I was very interested. Like, what are they claiming to be able to do? I want to make it clear that Jeff is not a psychologist. He did not go to school for psychology. He does not have any mental health training, as far as I know. He is a business person. And so that's, it's really important for me to make clear now. And they claim that they are capable of healing people's trauma. This is where it gets a little weird. There is a member who was featured on the Netflix show. Her name is Chrissy, and she was a lieutenant colonel in the Army. And she has a PhD in public safety leadership, not psychology, public safety leadership. She is the CEO of MAP. She was personally trained by Jeff, which makes her qualified to heal people of their traumas. And what MAP does is it claims to be able to heal a person's trauma in three easy steps in just 12 weeks. It's literally what they claim. And I was like, well, maybe they've hired psychologists. Maybe they have mental health professionals that work for this piece of the puzzle. And so I scrolled through all of their people. Only one has a bachelor's of science in psychology. Nobody else. Nobody else has any background that I could tell in psychology or therapy. They were all personally either trained by Jeff or Chrissy, which gives them the qualifications. It's also really important that the director of training, the people who are training the people who are healing the trauma, is a chef. He is not a psychologist. He's also Chrissy's husband, Jason. And this is really problematic to me, because what they are doing is they're claiming to heal people's serious, deep wounds without any training. And Chrissy and Jeff were talking about, on the docuseries, they were talking about targeting military members who suffered from PTSD and scouring the internet and grief websites and trauma groups on social media looking for potential clients. Okay, so what happens when you sign up for MAP? You pay $1,499 and they make a claim that they will heal you of your trauma in 12 weeks. I was very upset by all of this and kept scrolling through the website, and I just kept digging and digging and digging. And I finally found a disclaimer, and I'm going to read it so that people understand why I'm upset when I talk about this. I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. This is what it says. The disclaimer says, remember the diagnosis and treatment of PTSD requires trained medical professionals. Mind Alignment Process, Inc., MAP practitioners, are not trained medical professionals or counselors, nor do we purport to be. MAP should not be used as a substitute for seeking professional care for the diagnosis and treatment of any mental psychiatric disorders. So they are getting people to pay about $1,500 to get healing from people not professionally trained to treat people with trauma. Not to mention the fact that some former members claimed that Chrissy told them that they had past childhood trauma that needed to be healed in order to find their twin flame, so that they would need to go through the healing process. The trauma couldn't be resolved through their mirror process. Those former members claim to have zero recollection of any childhood trauma. So I fully recommend that people avoid MAP and any healing process offered by anyone that's not managed by professionals with trauma training. At best, it's simply just not going to help you. But at worst, it could actually be more dangerous to your mental health. So I would encourage all listeners, if you hear anybody talking about the Mind Alignment Process or MAP, I would highly encourage you to let them know the truth of what it's actually doing.
Wow, that sounds like they've got a lot going on, from their Church of Union to matching people with other potential twin flames to offering these suspect services to help people with past trauma. So the Netflix documentary didn't go into some of the stuff that we talked about. What was the main focus of the series?
Yeah, so although the Netflix series did briefly mention these things, it's seriously only three hour-long episodes, so they can't cover all of it necessarily. But I would say that it focused most on gender issues. And in fact, one episode, almost one episode in its entirety, was dedicated to gender issues. So one key part of a harmonious twin flame, Melanie, is that the union is between a divine masculine and a divine feminine. The idea, of course, like I said, it's not unique to the twin flames universe. Jeff and Shalia have taken the twin flames idea, and they've also taken the divine masculine and divine feminine idea and sort of run with it. They've taken it to their extremes. So Jeff and Shalia have said things like homosexuality and bisexuality don't really exist. They're not real things. And instead, in every twin flame couple, there's a divine masculine and a divine feminine. And in their book, they say that you are either 100% masculine or 100% feminine. There's no in between. And then, as they typically do, they got into sort of a crass way of explaining it. And they said that the masculine energy is the giving and entering energy, and the feminine energy is the receiving energy. And they called it juicy. They like to call a lot of the things that they say and teach juicy. They'll start a lot of their videos with, welcome to another juicy twin flames class. And it's all leading to what they call the fantastic, juicy sexual union between twin flame partners. It has led to some troubling decisions for members in the group. So, for example, at one point, there were only mostly women in the group. And Jeff and Shalia announced that they had channeled, remember, channeling is a thing with this couple, 20 new twin flame unions. And most of them were same-sex unions because there weren't enough men. Now, the problem was that most of the women who were members were not attracted to other women. There are some lesbians in the group, but most of the women who are in the group are heterosexual. Then the kicker was, they told some of the women that they are not divine feminine, but they are divine masculine. One same-sex couple that I saw on the docuseries that was on Prime about the same, about the Twin Flames universe, they were told this. One of the people in the couple was told that she is the divine masculine. And Jeff told her to accept divine masculinity and change your name. Now, the couple has since left the group. They are still together, but they are not in the Twin Flames universe. And the one that Jeff told to change her name, she did not change her name. She did not change her gender. She simply left the group. And you know, this is a hot topic button. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. But at the end of the docuseries on Netflix, they actually offer recommendations for those who need transgender support, because the series is definitely skewed towards supporting same-sex unions and gender transitions, but only in situations where people really wanted to do those things. And you'll learn that Jeff and Shalia were encouraging them to do some things.
Wow, that's fascinating, especially the fact that there's more women than men. So it seems very troubling that Jeff and Shalia are trying to encourage their members to transition to different genders based on this, you know, the overwhelming amount of women in the group and trying to find twin flame. So how have their members responded to their encouragement to transition? And has there been, you know, any kind of response to what they're asking members to do outside of their Twin Flames universe?
So I'll say that the Twin Flames universe and Jeff and Shalia have denied that they have encouraged anybody to change their genders. But in the videos that I saw of their live classes, it does seem to strongly skew that way. There are also members in the group who have transitioned who proudly talk about their surgeries and the different things that they have achieved. There is a couple that is made up of a trans woman and a trans man. Both have transitioned. One was transitioned already when they joined the group, but the other transitioned after. And so that's a very interesting Twin Flame union just on its surface. But the response appears to be mixed. Some did as they were told. They changed their outward appearance. They started dressing in a certain way. They cut their hair. They changed their name. And then others left. Some have actually transitioned, like I said. And some of the things that I've heard current members who have transitioned say is that they think that this is how it was always supposed to be, that Jeff and Shalia helped them find their truth. And that's a very culture-centric topic. Finding your truth. Jeff and Shalia led them to their truth, so to speak. But other members have downright refused to be pushed into identifying as a different gender. There was actually a trans member who was transitioning when they joined the group. And I'm just bouncing around pronouns because I don't remember her name. Their name, his name. Either way, it's very confusing. They ended up leaving the group because they were so disturbed by Jeff and Shalia telling people to identify in a certain way. And it felt like Jeff and Shalia were forcing people to change when they didn't really want to change. And that led me to kind of look into what outsiders have said about this. The response has been really loud from homosexual and pro-transgender groups. They don't approve. One article I read on Out Magazine said that the members that were encouraged to transition or be a part of a same-sex union didn't look happy. And for them, that was an indication that they didn't want to be part of that. That was a sign that they were being forced to do something that they didn't really want to do. The Netflix series also featured a transgender activist that spoke out very boldly about this topic and said that forcing people to change genders or identify in certain ways was wrong. And I think even as Christians, we definitely agree that forcing people to do things like that it's wrong. And we can find agreement with transgender groups and homosexual groups on this point. It's wrong for Jeff and Shalia to be forcing members to be doing these things. And listeners might be like, well, are they forcing them, or are the members freely giving their consent to do this? One of the things that we need to understand about cults and groups like this is that it might seem like they're giving their full consent, but it's probably not that simple. There's something called coercive consent, and that's a pretty common theme in cults. And what it means is that people accept something from a leader, in this case it would be Jeff and Shalia, because they want to make the leader happy, or they don't want to be pushed out of the group and shunned if they don't obey. Former members of the Twin Flames universe have said that if they didn't do what Jeff wanted them to do, they would be publicly shamed by him in their live classes and publicly mocked by them for not falling into line with what Jeff and Shalia told them to do. And so that is keeping people in the group, but it's also allowing people to say, well, maybe I should do this so that I don't make him mad at me. And again, it's this fear of the unknown. They don't know what's going to happen if they leave the group or if they don't do what they're told to do. So I think the bottom line on this issue, Melanie, is that we need to be compassionate. We need to be a compassionate people, because as the years go forward with these members, some of them are going to come to realize what has happened to them, and they're going to have to pick up the pieces for the mess that they are in. And for some of them, it's really problematic because they have changed their gender and they've changed their identity and they've shunned their own family members because they want to be in this group. And if they leave, they're going to be shattered and they will need support and they will need love and somebody to help them out of it. And so I think compassion really needs to be a running theme when we're talking about people who are coming from groups like this.
So does Jeff and Shalia have some kind of, you know, ultimate goal for their group? I mean, I know that you mentioned in this podcast that he wants to make a lot of money. What is really their purpose for all these different offshoots? Like even the services that they're trying to offer for people with trauma, they're not even claiming that they're qualified to do it. So what are they thinking that they would like this group to really be?
I think money is definitely a part of it. I saw estimates online that Jeff and Shalia are worth somewhere in the range of $5 million. And this is interesting because in one video that they showed on the Netflix docuseries, Shalia talks about how when she met Jeff, she was living in someone else's garage. And in this event that was featured in the video, she was decked out in, I think it was Chanel. I might get the brand wrong, but some expensive brand. She was decked out in it. And they are constantly flaunting their wealth. There is a video online where Jeff is giving us the grand tour of his home. There are massive crystals on their fireplace that are worth thousands and thousands of dollars. They have a swimming pool and a large estate in Michigan. And they have fancy cars that I think he has a Ferrari, maybe. I don't really know brands so well, but they are. He's got multiple cars. They have an SUV that has a fridge in the back, apparently. That was in one of their videos on Instagram. They're very excited about all of the fancy things that they own. Shalia is consistently flaunting various types of purses and luggage and brands that she wears, and a Louis Vuitton scarf that Jeff bought her, just a number of things. And they want their followers to think that they can get rich too. And so one of the things that they claim is not that they've made money off of these classes and other things. Of course they have, but they say that they've manifested it. Now, you've talked about manifesting before, I think, with Anne Kennedy on this podcast. As she's the expert on it. I'm not. But basically, what it's kind of like the prosperity gospel in that they're going to name it and claim it. And so they are manifesting their wealth, saying they are going to be multimillionaires and they are on the path to achieving such wealth, and that people in harmonious twin flame union have the most power to manifest the most wealth. So you want to be in a twin flame union in order to get the most rich. We've already talked about their New Age beliefs. They are ultimately trying to achieve ascension, which is their highest state. And again, they say the best way to do that is to be with your twin flame, because once you achieve perfect union together, you can ascend. I saw a more recent discussion regarding Jeff and Shalia about golden children. They just had a baby. I'm not going to talk about their child other than to say that they believe that they have known this child before and that they called her soul home by giving birth to her. I really struggled to watch some of the videos of Jeff and Shalia talking about some of the hardships of having a child. And they're very raw and lots of crying involved. So they desperately wanted this child. They wanted this specific child, they claim, and that she is their third twin flame in their relationship. Apparently, she's already ascended because she was born to people in a perfect twin flame union. And then this is kind of weird, but they say that she'll likely be celibate her whole life because she doesn't need anyone else but God to satisfy her sexual urges. So some of the former members have said that she will literally have sex with God. That will be her way of, she will not be with any other human because she is beyond that. And some of the members have said that Jeff and Shalia's goal is to have many of their members actually move to Michigan and live on the compound with them and raise a bunch of golden children so that they can raise the vibrational state of the earth and that we can all ascend together more quickly with these golden children. So I think those are the main things that they're trying to achieve with the Twin Flames universe. You can't deny that it has to do with money in some ways. They talk about it a lot, but I think it really comes down to also ascension and some of their New Age spirituality ideas.
Well, on a much more light note than this very troubling group, I have a fun question for Lindsay. So every January, if you're on the podcast, I ask the guests, when you look back at the end of this year, what is a word that you would hope described your 2024?
Joy. I think I'm coming off a hard year. So for joy to be the word, joy would be the word.
Great. Well, that's a great word. And I think all of us would want our years to be full of joy in the Lord. And so thanks, Lindsay, again, for your research and for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks for having me, Melanie.
You've been listening to episode 376 of the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest was Lindsay Medenwalt. She has written an online exclusive feature article called Escaping Twin Flames, Why People Are Falling for the Love Cult. And you can read her article for free at our website, equip.org. You won't want to miss out on subscribing to the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. We have the Bible Answer Man podcast, which is published Monday through Friday with the best of the week on Saturday. It's hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. In addition, Hank has a podcast called Hank Unplugged. Hank takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. And you won't want to miss out on the brand new podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Christian Research Journal Reads presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. It was a print incarnation of almost 45 years. It's now on the web, as you know, with new articles every single week. So you won't want to miss these audio articles of some of our most popular and most accessed articles on our website, equip.org.